Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you, friends, listeners from all over the world, all over the United States. We're especially glad you're listening to us right here the week after the 13th anniversary of 9/11, 2001, when America was shocked. But today's show, we're going to be talking about what the president said the night before September 11th when he committed United States military in action without ground troops to help knock out ISIS. He calls them ISIL. We'll be talking about the security of the United States, and this is a show about security, and we will have an exclusive interview with United States Senator Thad Cochran, who, if the Republicans take over the Senate come November, if Senator Cochran is reelected from Mississippi, he will be the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And we talked to him about what do you do in this time of need for a national defense, national security, and yet we have an $18 trillion debt. So we'll be giving you an exclusive interview with United States Senator Thad Cochran as we talk about the security of our nation. That'll be coming up first part of the show. And then on the second half of the show, we're going back to finish up last week's interview with David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He talks to us from Israel. And as he tells us about what's going on, it's just appropriate that, first of all, right now to kick off the show, I want to play this clip that Charlie Rose of the Public Broadcasting System, does his interviews there, but Charlie Rose was interviewing Bill Maher, who we've had on the show over the years, clips of him on the show, and he said some outrageous things, but he nailed something down that Charlie wanted to move him on. And well, let me play this clip and see what you think.
I saw Howard Dean on TV the other day, and he said something along the order of, he said, the people in ISIS are, I said, I'm about as Islamic as they are, you know, distancing the vast numbers Islamic people around the world from it. That's just not true.
It is true.
It is not true, Charlie. There is a connecting tissue between...
You mean, you know, behind every Muslim is a future member of some radical...
Let me finish.
I thought I was doing that.
There are illiberal beliefs that are held by vast numbers of Muslim people that I don't think...
Vast number of Christians, too.
No, that's not true. Not true. Vast numbers of Christians do not believe that if you leave the Christian religion, you should be killed for it. Vast numbers of Christians do not treat women as second-class citizens. Vast numbers of Christians...
I agree with that.
...do not believe that if you draw a picture of Jesus Christ, you should get killed for it. So, yes, does ISIS do Khmer Rouge-like activities where they just kill people indiscriminately who aren't just like them? Yes. And would most Muslim people in the world do that or condone that? No. But most Muslim people in the world do condone violence.
Let me jump in here real quick between Charlie Rose and Bill Maher. And what Bill's saying is, you can tell it's upsetting Charlie some. He's saying, you're not really saying this, are you, Bill? You know, that you got to believe that Islam is the religion of peace. And Bill is saying, well, it's not true. And he's saying, you look, when you leave the Christian faith, do people say you should be killed? If you commit adultery, the people say you should be stoned. And Bill Maher is pointing out some things that, shockingly, he has the audacity to come out and say what he feels and what he sees. And Charlie Rose and other commentators that are on television rarely will they have a guest that won't fall in line saying that Islam is a religion of peace. So it's interesting to see what Bill Maher says. Of course, you know, he says all religions are stupid. He doesn't believe in any religion. But it is amazing that he's come on and talking about this with Charlie Rose. And let's finish this up, and then we're going to kick off the show about security.
What you think? They do. First of all, they say it. They shout it.
Vast majorities of Muslims.
Absolutely.
Say that?
There's a Pew poll of Egypt done a few years ago. 82%, I think it was, said stoning is the appropriate punishment for adultery. Over 80% thought death was the appropriate punishment for leaving the Muslim religion. I'm sure you know these things.
I know. Well, I do.
So to claim that this religion is like other religions is just naive and plain wrong. It is not like other religions.
So just how far has America come since September 11th, 2001? We've learned a great deal about Islam. We've learned Americans had very little knowledge about the Sunnis and the Shia in Iraq. And since 2001, since we were attacked by the terrorists, we've learned a lot more about Islam, but still there's so much we don't know. We had President Bush who came out and told us Islam is a religion of peace. And now, after these years later, and we look at beheadings, and we realize that there is a disgusting, violent sect of jihadists that just seem to want to terrorize and put fear in people around the world. And that's what the Islamic State is doing. So it was interesting to hear Bill Maher and Charlie Rose talk about things. And so are we maturing in our attitude toward what the real issue is in the Middle East? And as we will later on the show finish up the interview of David Rubin and what he feels about the Palestinians and Israelis trying to make peace, and what does that mean? And if you didn't go, if you have not heard last week's show, please go back and hear the security concerns of United States Senator Roger Wicker. We had an exclusive interview with him, and then also David Rubin talking about the recent war with Hamas in Israel, and he helps us understand. And today's interview, we'll hear him talk about Hamas and Hezbollah and who you know, that's Sunni or Shia. He'll help us understand that. So please listen to that second half of the show. But now, talking about what the president said the night before the anniversary of the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in 2001, President Obama had to come to the American people and tell them that he was going to fight ISIS. He calls it ISIL, but the Islamic State, that's what it is. But he made sure in his speech to say that the Islamic State is not Islam. Now, they call themselves Islamic State, but President Obama went out of his way to say that this is not Islam. And so hearing Bill Maher speak about this, which he, again, has no religion, he's an atheist, and he's proud of it and talks about that. But he brings these things out about the connective tissue of Islam. And our president went out of his way, said that this is the people who called himself the Islamic State and the new caliphate. He went out of his way to say they're not Islam. So what are they? What religion are they? I want to ask the president. But I do think the president finally got on a page with a plan. Now, is it the plan that will give us victory? Well, somebody asked, what is victory? The White House has not told us what victory is. They said they're going to defeat and decimate Islamic State. So how do we know when the war is over? How do we know? Well, you know, President Obama does not call this a war, but he's going to use our military. I hope that we can get in there with the air game without boots on the ground. Now, we've been training the Iraqi army for over 10 years, and then when they got in heated battles with Islamic State, they ran away as fast as they could. Now, what are we going to do to train them more than we've trained them over the last 13 years? Well, that's what I guess, remains to be seen, and see if President Obama has some new training techniques that we haven't figured out. Maybe he'll teach them to the Iraqi army and the Iraqi people. But what I do want you to understand, that I support the president saying he wants to destroy the Islamic State. The voice of reason knows, reasonable people around the world know, that the Islamic State does not need to mature and grow and, like a cancer, metastasize and threaten more and more people and be able to export their terrorism in different continents, including the United States. These are very serious times in the world, and we have got to have a president that is on tune and off the golf course. And I hope he understands the commitment he's making to say that he can win this war without American ground troops. And he was specifically ruled out using American ground troops. And, you know, is that telegraphing your enemy how you're going to fight the war? Does that give an unfair advantage to the enemy? What happened to not signal what you're going to do if you really want to win? These are things that concern me, but I am glad that the president of the United States did set up a plan to defeat the Islamic State, the army. Now, President Obama also said that they are not a state and they're a terror organization. They have no land. But, you know, that's not quite true. They have big swaths of land. And they've called themselves a new caliphate, a new country. So the president, this is the thing that concerns me. He sees the world how he wants to see it and not as it really is. That's why the Islamic State has grown over this past year after intelligent briefing after intelligent briefing said we got a problem. But it didn't go along with President Obama making the world secure for peace, because he got the Nobel Peace Prize a long time ago in his presidency. I hope he wakes up and serves out the last couple of years of his term with strength and brings honor to America. Let's pray for him. And let's pray for the men and women who will be in harm's way. There will be. There will have to be if we engage, even if it's just in the air with no ground troops. So those are the things for what we heard last week. Those are the things I wanted to point out that are very serious. Now, let me play a clip. We have an exclusive clip. I ran it up with United States Senator Thad Cochran and got to ask him a couple of questions. So take a listen to United States Senator Thad Cochran from Mississippi.
Senator, one of the things that's concerning a lot of Americans now, and I know over the years you served under several presidents as senator, and what do you see in this world situation with a group called ISIS and the Islamic State and the beheadings of American journalists? What is a country to do to protect itself?
Well, there's no question that there are serious threats to the security of Americans, and we need to take every precaution that we reasonably can anticipate that will help defend successfully against terrorism and against those who want to do us ill will or harm. We have to have a strong military force, and we also have to spend some amount of our resources keeping up with what the bad guys are up to. We need to be able to monitor and stay in touch with information that our government agencies receive wherever there are threats to our government or to our military forces or to our American citizens. So that's a big undertaking, and it requires the best intelligent, brave, and committed soldier citizens that we can find to help win this battle against terrorism.
And Senator, I know you, as you on the Appropriations Committee, and we are $18 trillion in debt, or going $18 trillion in debt, and we got armed forces that has these new terrorism concerns. And how do we balance the budget? How do we pay for the security we need. How do we do that, Senator?
We have to do a better job of controlling spending and making sure that the dollars that we approve to support federal programs and activities are totally justified by the facts and by the needs of the country. And one of the needs is for a strong economy. We can't be vulnerable to terrorism threats and be successfully positive in our economic capabilities and keeping a strong economy. We need jobs, good paying jobs for our citizens. So there's a long list of important contributions the federal government can make to our peace and stability and safety.
But you talk about the economy, and you're right. We need jobs, and we've got fewer people working as a percentage of the workforce than since when you were, I guess, first elected in 1978. I think it's 62.9% of Americans who are working, where it used to be 65, 66, 67%. And even though unemployment numbers are coming down, it's because people have stopped looking for work. So what has this administration done? That whatever they've done seems to be not working, but what can the Republicans in Congress do to turn our economy around?
Well, I think we need to be fiscally responsible in that we not overspend. We do have a limited amount of money that we can successfully use to help support highways and transportation and healthcare initiatives that are needed by people who couldn't otherwise have advantages of medical care and treatment, that our sophisticated medical community has been able to develop for us. So these are hard challenges, and the balancing between military spending and national defense and security spending and economic support for people who are on Social Security or who are retired military, their obligations are now coming to fruition, so that are our obligations to them, so that we need to be able to make those payments to them without injuring our economy or taking away from others.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
And that was United States Senator Thad Cochran. The takeaway on that is, I think the United States Senate, as well as the House, are going to look at the appropriations. We got to get money if we're going to wage a campaign against ISIS and the Islamic State. And I think Senator Cochran appropriately talked about that and talked about, I thought it was very important what he said. We must get our economy going. How do we fight terrorism? How do we protect America when we have a weak economy? So some two great takeaways from our exclusive interview with Senator Thad Cochran. Let me remind you, you're listening to us on Web Talk Radio. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're glad to have you. We know we got new listeners. We appreciate you listening in. This is our security show, talking about security in America, security in Israel. So we got David Rubin coming up in just a minute or two. And before we play the interview, let me just remind our new listeners, we do have archive shows. Go back and listen to some of the great shows we've got in the archives. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. We are trying to be the voice of reason. We are conservative here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, but we reach out. We want to hear America. We want to forge a new voice, a new direction, a new coalition that knows that we can stand on the bedrock principles of conservative policies, but we can reach out and grow an army, a new army of people who understand why the principles of conservatism are going to help move this country forward. We've had enough of the liberal far-left policies. So please, come on board, help us out, send us your ideas, send us the things that you know will help America get moving again. And let's get ready. In the next few weeks, we will be centering in on the Senate elections that are going on around the country to see who will be in charge of the United States Senate. Will it be Harry Reid, or will the Republicans be able to control the United States Senate? Very, very important elections coming up in many states. We'll be covering that here starting next week. So thank you for listening. Now, let's play the second half of an interview with the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, all the way from Israel. He's on the phone. Here he is, David Rubin.
You know, we're talking as we speak about Hamas, but we could easily be talking about ISIS or the Islamic State. And I point out in my book, The Islamic Tsunami, that what we're talking about here is an Islamic tsunami of fundamentalist Islam that is spreading like wildfire throughout the Middle East and around the world. And Hamas is only one representation of that. The ISIS or Islamic State is only another representation of it. They all share that ideology, though, of extreme radical Islam, which basically is the jihadist philosophy, which jihad is holy war against all non-Muslims. And that's what they believe in. That's at the core of Islam, and it's very, very dangerous. And we ignore it at our own risk.
Well, you know, David, for my longtime listeners, they know we had you on our show a couple years ago, and your book, Islamic Tsunami, it looks like you pinned it right on the head. I mean, since the last 2 years, the Al-Qaeda and what President Obama is saying, that the terrorist networks were being defeated and diminished, and he was absolutely wrong, because it's grown stronger and more bloodthirsty, I'd say. And, you know, we just witnessed an American journalist beheaded in the video put around the world. And, I mean, that just it horrified people. And yet, it went on by the hundreds and even thousands of beheadings that have been going on in Iraq and other places. Do you have any input on the numbers that are in the Middle East, how Islamic State is growing?
They're growing rapidly. They have control of oil fields. They have control of a lot of wealth, with which to build their terrorist infrastructure. The Islamic tsunami spoke about the common ground that binds all of these terrorist organizations together. At that point, the Islamic State or ISIS wasn't a known terrorist organization, but yes, I did predict. When the book came out a few years ago, I did predict that all of these Islamic terrorist organizations are going to be joining together or cooperating or coordinating, and they are today. The Hezbollah terrorists are supporting the Hamas terrorists, and they're from different ethnic groups. There's Shiite Muslims helping Sunni Muslims, and you have the ISIS, which is also Sunni Muslims. They're also helping the Hamas.
Now, help my listeners, David, because that gets them confused. I know some of it, and you know it all, but the Sunni Muslims, now Hamas and Hezbollah, tell me some of the Sunni Muslim jihadists, and then tell me some of the Shia Muslim jihadists, so they'll help us better understand it.
Okay, the Sunnis are the Hamas. The Hamas are Sunni Muslims. The Hamas are the ones that Israel's fighting against.
Right.
The Hezbollah is Shiite Muslims, and they're aligned with Iran. Okay, so then you have countries like Qatar and Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf. Mm-hmm. They are Sunni Muslims. But my point is that there's a lot of internal conflict between these different Islamic ethnic groups, but ultimately they are all on the same page. They all believe in that jihadist philosophy that says death to all the non-Muslims, that wants to subjugate all non-Muslims, and that's the real danger that people can't be ignoring, because if we continue to ignore it, then we fail to understand that their goal is not just the destruction of Israel, but also the destruction of Judeo-Christian civilization, of Western civilization as we know it today.
David, as you just said that, it helps me understand. A lot of my listeners probably don't understand. We in the West, so to speak, think that live and let live and just let everybody do their own thing. That's sort of philosophy that's come about. And yet we see the Christian, 1,800 years Christian community in northern Iraq, where the Christians were told to convert or die. And women were being raped, being forced into marriages. And we see this, and it's hard for people in the West to comprehend that's actually happening. But how can you help us better understand the presence of this Islamic state that's actually going on right now?
Well, all that I could do is make a couple of analogies.
Okay.
And I'll tell you two very short and to the point stories that will help you to understand why people are having trouble soaking this in.
Okay.
Look at World War II. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of World War II, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president at the time, did not want to enter World War II. He did not want to get involved. He didn't want to do it. He was kind of ignoring the growth of the Nazis in Germany and throughout Europe. And it was easy for him to ignore it because it was the other side of the ocean.
Right.
And he didn't want to get involved. Okay. Ultimately, he did get involved. And, you know, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, there was no way to ignore it.
Right.
And he got involved fully, and the Nazis were defeated.
And for our listeners, some of them are young. They don't realize when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, we turned around. We declared war on Germany and Japan. We didn't have to.
That's
declare
right,
on
because
Germany,
the Japan, the Japanese were aligned with the Germans
right.
at that time. They were aligned with the Nazis. And then I'll tell you one other story. Which most people would be very surprised about.
Okay.
There was at the time of the Washington administration, okay, we're going back a number of years.
Yep, beginning of the nation.
George Washington's administration. The American ships were being pounded at sea, were being hijacked, ship members were being taken hostage. And these were American ships that were doing trade, and this was critical for the burgeoning American economy. And they were being hijacked and taken hostage by none other than the Barbary pirates, who were Islamic pirates who were at sea, and they were demanding enormous amounts of ransom, similar to the 6.6 million that has been requested in ransom, demanded in ransom for that 26-year-old woman, American woman, who's being held hostage by ISIS right now.
Right.
The Barbary pirates demanded numbers like that, and of course at that time it was the equivalent of something like 6.6 billion, and the American government paid them because there was no American Navy, and there was no way of stopping these terrorists at sea out there in Tripoli, in the region near Tripoli, near Libya, what is now Libya.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened? There were two consecutive American administrations that suffered through this, and there was a Secretary of State named Thomas Jefferson who was very concerned about it, negotiated with them, and just continued paying these ransoms. Well, when Jefferson was elected president, and he realized the damage that all this was doing to the American economy, he went out and he bought a copy of the Quran,
right,
which is the Islamic so-called holy book. And in that he learned the mentality of the Muslims. And he realized that the only way that they were going to be stopped is if he would send the Marines out to sea to fight them and to defeat them. And to defeat them handily, not worrying about who got killed in the process. And that's what he did. And from that comes the theme song of the Marines, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Right.
And those Barbary pirates were defeated handily by by Thomas Jefferson and the Marines. And but why was done after all these years of ignoring that Islamic threat? Jefferson understood the mentality that and the evil that we were faced with, and he went and he destroyed them. This is something that obviously is going to take some time, but hopefully Americans are going to wake up and understand that their entire live and let live way of life is being threatened by these Islamic terrorists.
Well, David Rubin, you've helped us better understand the situation. I know you live there in Israel, and we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all of Israel. And we know you got a lot of wisdom. We appreciate you helping us better understand the situation.
Well, thank you, Doc. And I want to encourage people, if they'd like to find learn even more about this, that they should go to my website,
okay,
which is davidrubinisrael.com. Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N. That's okay. davidrubinisrael.com. And they can find out about my book, The Islamic Tsunami, and they can find out about Peace for Peace, Israel in the New Middle East, and even my first book, God, Israel, and Shiloh. All of that is at davidrubinisrael.com.
And that was David Rubin. We're glad to have him on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics again. A couple of takeaways is he is very adamant about making sure terrorism is taken out in the Middle East. And to do that, you get rid of those who commit terrorism. That's, I think, the feedback we get from David Rubin. And now America is committing itself under direction of President Barack Obama to rid Iraq and Syria of the Islamic State or ISIS. So there's a lot to learn from people like David Rubin, who's lived around terrorism, and his insights and points of what's going on has been very helpful for me, and I hope it has been for you. And we'll stay in touch with him over the next few months and years. Now, one of the things I do want to remind you, next week we have a show. We've been talking about security in America, security in the Middle East. Week on the show, we're going to have as our guest Larry Pratt. He's been on our show before. He's from Gun Owners of America. We'll be talking about some of the things going on in the Department of Justice under the direction of Attorney General Eric Holder. Got a great show coming up. Again, we'll concentrate on some of the election races in the United States Senate that will help determine who will be leading the Senate, the Democrats or Republicans. Very important shows coming up. We're glad you're listening. We're going to make it worth your while. Get your listening caps on and tell your friends and neighbors to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.